Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 25. This week, we're covering Scotch whiskey. We ask you respect the laws, drink responsibly, and always drink your Scotch on the rocks. I'm your host, Derek Schomer, and with me today, we have the usual suspects, Doug, Dave, and Kate, my esteemed drinking colleagues. And
Water Century.
What we're going to do, yes, and what we're going to do is this is going to be crazy. Two of us have drank, is drank the right, let's see, is it a strong verb, weak verb, drank, drunk, drinked. Yeah, drank. We've drank whiskey, and two of us... imbibed whiskey, while two of us are not whiskey drinkers, either because of bad experiences in our childhood, maybe before drinking age, or after. And so this might be the first real big experience with Scotch whiskey. So I don't know how that's going to go, because I'm that guy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit scared.
Me and Dave, we're representing the noobs. I think it's going to be awesome. This adds so much dynamic. It's going to be like two people going, wow, this tastes smoky and barrel roasted. And the other one's going, I'm heaving. It's going
to
be great.
Well, no. I mean, I like Scotch. I drink Scotch. But I've never been able to talk intelligently about my liquor unless it's wine.
Yeah, but so. What I've been doing, it's what I've learned from doing, for some reason, way too much drinking for like... It's almost like professional drinking at this point. I've got parents who think I might be an alcoholic, and then they realize I really don't drink that much. There's only two real times I drink, and that's for the show and preparing for the show. Most of the other times I'm dry, so it's not like I'm an alcoholic or anything. But what I've tried to take away from all my experiences is that I can use the stuff I figured out with wine on how to pick out flavors from the wines with everything. I could do it with cocktails. I could do it with beers. I mean, Doug could do it with beers. And I think you could do it with food. So I think really...
Is that a compliment?
I think so.
Your inflection was weird. I couldn't tell you.
Oh, well...
Doug can do it with beers.
Yeah, well, because it's like you can do... You've gone down the road of homebrew and you're... much further along than we are. So it's more of like an inflection, like you top us in that area. If there's a beer problem, you're there to solve it, and we're here to be the noobs.
No, you.
I just know what I know, and that's usually how to drink. So, and I think we all can do that, grab a 30-pack of Natty Ice. And I saw a guy today at the grocery store pulling out and with two 30-packs of Natty Ice. Now that's respectable.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what he was doing. Anyway. I think you can use the same stuff, what we use for picking out wines and flavors and alcohols and stuff, with food and everything. So I think, Kate, I trust that you will be able to pull it off, because you just can. You have the palate to do what we need you to do here today. I trust in you. See, what you probably do is when you drink Scotch, normally you're just like, ah, Scotch. You've never been set down and be like, okay, what do you taste in the Scotch? But that's not to say you can't. You just never had been posed the question.
I taste burning dirt. Does that count?
that's the peaty mossiness of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that technically that does count.
Burning dirt.
Oh. That's kind of what it is.
All right.
I guess if you expect something isn't going to taste good, it's probably not going to taste good.
And Dave is a pessimist. Yeah. Nothing should taste good to Dave.
No, this is...
Dave would be the guy who says Big Macs.
But it's been a lot of years. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, that's fine. So what we did is now for somebody like me and Dave, and maybe I guess realistically all of us or everybody, if you guys already have your preferred Scotch, that's different. And people out there are probably Scotch drinkers. I know a few anyway. So they might have a bottle of Scotch. I don't. So what I did is rather than spend $150 on something I may not like, I utilized the little shelf with all the nips. And I got myself four unique Scotch whiskeys. And so that gave me the ability to try something. Maybe, you know, I might not like any of them, but I might be able to tell you the difference on why I don't like each of them independently. Or I might like them all or half. I don't know. But at least I could try four without just getting one bottle of like Black Label and being like, this is awful. And now I'm screwed. I got a bottle of Black Label. I don't know what to do with. With these, I really, you know, $2. It cost me like $8 for this podcast. So...
Nice. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I will say that the nip selection in New Hampshire is so much more robust than the nip selection that they have in North Carolina. It's our liquor stores are sad.
Really? Well, you know what it is? I think it's because New Hampshire knows how to drink as a state. they know, and I don't know if it's because people market it that way or what, but I've talked to different people. I did this at the Boston Wine Expo, and I asked people, why aren't you in New Hampshire? And they just said it's kind of tough to get through the regulations in the state. But once you do, you have a huge footprint. Huge, because it goes everywhere. You don't have to sell into little minor distributors. The state is a distributor, right? You sell to the state, it goes everywhere.
Yep.
So if you get your, there's a good drive to do, to get into that type of environment. It's harder, but once you're in, it's very satisfying because you cover the state with just one struggle. It's kind of like a civil war of alcohols.
But I mean, here's the thing though. The more frustrating thing about the liquor stores down here is it's the exact same setup as New Hampshire, in as much that the state controls it.
Really?
You can only get your liquor through ABC package stores, and they're not open on Sundays.
That shows me their selection's bad because they don't even know how to do this right. People are going to drink on two big nights of the week. It's going to be Saturday night, maybe a little Friday night, and probably on Sunday in the afternoon usually, because you don't want to do that at night like we do.
Well, raise your hand if you live down south.
Okay.
And how do you know it? Because I can't get liquor on Sunday.
Right.
Unless I go out.
Well, the other way you know it is because this package store is called ABC. They want to keep it simple for the Southerners.
Mm-hmm.
See, come on. I didn't get any like, ooh, ten of our listeners just disappeared.
Actually, I think we already alienated them like many episodes ago.
No, I get write-ins every now and then, and there are some from Texas and such. So that's Southern. So, you know, last I checked.
That's true.
So anyway, your selection isn't good in general or with whiskey?
Specifically with nips, depending on what ABC store you go to, they have better selections of some things than others. Yeah, which is interesting because it's a crapshot, and you know what you're gonna have a selection for. There is an ABC store around the corner from me at Mission Valley. Their Scotch selection kind of sucks. And then not 5 minutes from here, there's another ABC store at a higher-end type strip mall area that has a great Scotch selection, which is actually where I got mine from.
See, for us, it's more about quantity. Like, you go, for the nips especially, it's the same. I haven't been to a New Hampshire liquor store where they don't have, like, two big blocks of just nips. For other alcohols, and especially for wines, it depends on the store. Certain stores carry tons of wines. Other ones carry a limited selection. Like, the one in our town is very small. So you get just pretty much brand names and then a few off-the-wall things, but that's it. And I probably wouldn't even go there for nips either. They don't carry as many nips as they carry smaller versions of everything. So like if you want, like, I don't know, a half a handle instead of a handle of Captain Morgan, they'll have the smaller Patrons, which, you know, a lot of the expensive stuff, that's nice because you can get a smaller version of it, but in my mind, the smaller version of it, it's the same price as getting the larger one. So if you're going to drink it anyway, just get the larger one and pay it all up front and keep it. You don't have to go out as much, but that's just me.
No, you're right, but the nice thing that you guys have going for you is your selection allows you to try a lot more of the different varieties of Scotch to find what you like, and then you can go and blow a lot of money on a nice bottle.
Now, this is very important, in my opinion, for Scotch especially. Buying a bottle of Aftershock or a little nip of Aftershock, It's cinnamon schnapps. You either like cinnamon schnapps or you don't. So you could try a bottle of any cinnamon schnapps and then go buy the brand that you want to try. Very little variation when you consider the amount of just sugars and intensities in that type of drink. Whiskey, when we're looking at, well, the difference is going to be $30 to $60 to $100, it would be nice to know what the thing is going to taste like. So this gives us a great opportunity. I only got four. There were five total, but one was sold out. They had I didn't want it anyway. It was Johnny Walker Red. And the red label's kind of supposed to be, you know, maybe mixing, blending. And
yeah, it's blended.
So I wanted the black label. They didn't have any. If they only had red, I don't know if they have nips in black label. Maybe. Does anybody here have a black label nip?
I do.
Ah, shit. And he's only like 20 minutes down the road, so I fucked up. let's get into that then. Doug, what are you sporting for your whiskey?
I'm rocking the 15-year-old Dalwhinnie. I am a Scotch drinker. I love Scotch. I've had the majority of the more well-known, I didn't want to say famous, but the more well-known Scotches, like the Dalwhinnies, the Craigenmores, the Macallans, the...
Johnny Walker.
Glenlivets.
Glenlivet.
Yeah, Johnny Walker. I kind of stay away from the Johnny Walker, but if you're going to be a Scotch snob, you might as well do it proper. Ditto on the Dewars. I don't really drink Dewars. Although... I did have a bottle of 20-year-old Dewar's Special Reserve that was phenomenal.
Yeah, but it's 20 years old. That's a completely different... I mean, realistically, all these brands have lines of scotch, and I don't think any one of them... If a line that's 12-year-old scotch is okay, I don't think that really translates to the same value per tasting dollar, if you will, for their 20s and their older ones. I think that maybe they're... They all need to be judged in their own class. You know, like if a okay label's got an okay low class, it could have an excellent high class. You won't know unless you try it. I don't think it's like if Pabst Blue Ribbon made a high class beer, not to say that it's not high class, but I just picking that one out of that random, right? But if they made like a Sam Smith like 4-pack or like a Dogfish Head where you're up to $9 or $10 for a 4-pack, you can't say that it's a bad expensive beer unless you've had it. Just because their other stuff might be bad in your opinion doesn't necessarily mean their every grade of it is. I don't know if brands themselves exhibit low class. I think they make a specific targeted audience for a specific brew. And if you think it's bad, but it's still selling, there's a lot of people who don't, right?
Exactly.
So I think there's a slight difference in taste that keeps everybody going. Otherwise, they don't last very long. Like, for instance, White Mountain Gin. It was awful. But I bought a 750-milliliter bottle of White Mountain Gin in college for about $2. So, you know, in that case, I don't know if they make any other lines. At that point, they just want to make money. And they did. $2. So yours is 15 years, and this is an expensive bottle?
It was $50.
That's not too bad. And you were talking about, before the show, something about some pairings. What is this pairings you're doing?
Oh, well, okay. So my intent was to have a couple different scotches for this evening. But unfortunately, I went to a brewery tour yesterday, local beer, Big Boss, and that turned into an all-day and all-night affair. So didn't make it to the liquor store.
Did you make it home?
Oh, yeah. Of course I made it home eventually.
Yeah.
So that was probably like between 11:30 and 12. Anyway, I got home. But Friday night, I was actually out at the local beer emporium, and they had like the biggest just block of just piles of cases of Innocent Gun. That's INNIS and Gun, GUNN, oak aged beer. It's a Scottish malt beer that was aged in oak barrels. And so
you going to do a car bomb for us?
Nope.
Oh.
That's Irish.
What? You mean... Well, car bombs in general, or do you mean the actual drink?
No. This is not the appropriate beer. No, it's a Scottish ale. It's malty, and it has almost no hop bitterness to it.
It's like a... Which? Kind of crazy. It's like a brown ale.
Well, no.
No, because those are sweeter.
Here's the thing with Scotch ales.
Oh, they're good,
I
though.
I find it hilarious to give these beers to people, and everybody thinks they're like, you know, it's not bad, but there's just something's not right.
It's one dimension.
Our palates are so used to, especially if you drink microbrews, your palate is so used to having hops in your beer that when there's no hops or very little hops in the beer, you're like, this is fucked up.
So like Budweiser.
What's wrong with it? Yeah.
Schlitz.
Exactly.
Natty Ice. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I had Schlitz for the first time not too long ago.
I don't know. I was just rumbling off things that don't have hops in them, I'm guessing.
I decided to have this beer to chase my scotch, and my scotch is fucking awesome.
That's cool. So, well, then what I did in mine don't have hops in them either because mine is scotch. Well, I went with everything they had. So what I ended up getting, not knowing anything about scotch except for it has to be from Scotland, and we'll talk about that later, is it Chivas Regal 12-year-old premium scotch. Chivas. And it's aged for 12 years, like pretty much everything. We've got, what is it, like I like my women like I like my scotch, something about aged 12 years, and that's probably not a good story. So I got the I also got the Glenlivet It's a single malt scotch, 12 years.
Glenlivet.
Glenlivet. What else? Glenlivet. Oh, I got Dalmore. Is that how you say it? The Dalmore scotch?
Dalmore.
This is a single Highland malt.
That's going to be a little more smoky and a little more harsh on your tongue.
I like harsh.
I'll just let you know that now.
I like my scotch to really beat me in the face. And so I also have Dewars white label. It's not red.
Dewars
white label. I don't really know what the white label is compared to other ones, but this is a blended scotch whiskey, not like a single malt or anything huge. We'll talk about blending and scotches and their malts and such later. So I think overall, I think I got all pretty much 12-year-old scotch. Nothing crazy, nothing super expensive. Still more expensive if you buy them in a bigger bottle. But that I wanted to get as much coverage as possible. So I don't want to be that guy that just says scotch sucks. I want to really heave with all the brands.
I want to prove that right. I can have all of them and still think that they suck.
Well, you know what? I think I would have a better appreciation for it if I didn't have a bad time with some really bad, like Seagram's 7. Because to me,
that's whiskey.
Well, this is scotch whiskey. It's not where the country is. It's not the flavors. It's the scent. Just the scent. That's the only thing that bothered me.
I'm exactly with you. I had a really bad experience with J&B.
Right. That was...
And yeah. Just even to this day, and this was like many, many years ago, and it's still just...
I don't know how I'm going to react because I stay away from this stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. I stay away from anything that has whiskey in the name, spelled with a Y or spelled with an EY. I don't fucking care. I just stay away from it. So this is like I'm basically taking my demons and just bringing them right to the girl piece and saying, let's do this shit and see what's going on. So, you know, we're going to see what's going on. Now, Kate, you're the other person in the show that actually can drink scotch, right?
Yes.
And now what did you bring to the table?
Glenfiddich and Johnny Walker.
So you get the Johnny Walker. You're sporting the Johnny Walker. Is that what label? The black label?
Red label.
Red label. So yeah. You're going all blended on us or whatever that means.
Yeah. Glenfiddich?
I don't know what that is.
Glenfiddich blended? I don't think so.
No?
Glenfiddich is a single.
Yeah, it's a single malt.
So you got both.
Yeah, so I've got one blended and one single malt, and they're very, very different tastes.
That's badass. Because now you're batting with both hands. If that's you're switching it. No, that doesn't sound good. that's awesome. Okay, so
yeah, they have very different smells and very different tastes, which is why when you're saying, oh, when I smell it, it brings back these, you know, terrible memories. But I don't know, the scotches, different scotches can smell so differently. Like they're two totally different types of alcohol. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but mine do.
I just avoided carpet bombed the situation. I'm just like, no, right, no, I don't know what, I don't want to smell it, because I'm going to throw up in your bottle, that's not cool. So I've just been avoiding it. So it may be different. It's just the only thing I've ever had to compare it to, and I can't say I've ever had a scotch put in, like a scotch really up in my nose, but let's see, Jack Daniels, that one was like, that was a little rough. Even in Coke, it was like, oh, you have Jack and Coke. It tastes like, you don't even taste the Jack Daniels. And I smelled the Coke, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to throw up my Coke now. Come on. And I drank it. But I have to do that. That's my job. But I think that I'm just being racist towards the scotch. So we're going to change that today.
I'm pretty sure the Scotch are the most racist people I've ever met. But, you know.
that may be true. I'm not Scottish, but I want to give everybody a chance. And just because their spinoffs, the American whiskeys, kind of damaged my palate, I think that I can't just let that stand like that. I got to do something about it. What are you going to do about it, Dave? What do you got?
I should preface this by saying that I didn't exactly take care of my palate tonight before doing this.
Which
I'm not sure what I'm going to taste. I made this Korean dish for dinner called kalbi, and it's like, it's a kind of short rib, but it's loaded with garlic and stuff, and you eat it with chili paste. And so pretty much I'm devastating my tongue right off the bat.
Nice. But so maybe it's going
to
be bad.
I decided to do an interesting blend. And when I say I decided, I mean that these are the things that I could get at the liquor store in nip form. So I got a blended, which is Johnny Walker Black. I've got a single malt, which is Craganmore. And I've got another single malt, which is the Glenlivet.
So we got something in common here. It's a Glenlivet. Okay. And then on top of that, before I even get into the the Scotch history, which I have here, and some stuff on Scotch. I have to try it. That's because I'm really actually excited about that. So what I was told is lots of ice. Is that right? Is that whatever? Who is it? That was Doug, right? Doug.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know this because you have a brother-in-law who's from
Scotland.
Okay, that guy is everything. He knows it all. I mean, he's from Scotland and he drinks, so he must know Scotch.
He does. Although he confided in me recently that he made a slight mistake, which was ordering a glass of 25-year-old Macallan.
How's that a mistake?
It was a $45 mistake when he drank it, and he was like, man, this isn't even as good as the whatever else he was drinking. That was a 12-year-old.
That's bad.
Anyway.
It's not a mistake. It's a learning experience.
Yes. Well, yes. The man does drink the Scotch. I personally believe in his opinion on all matters that are Scotch. And he said, drink it on ice. And I said, of course.
So I'm going to put it in a rocks glass, old fashioned glass. Basically, it's about a 6 to 8 ounce glass, a little smaller than 8. And so if I was to pick between the Glenlivet, the Chivas, the Dewars, did I say it right?
Dewars.
The Dewars and the Dalmore. Which is the lowest? I want to go from low to high. Is there any specific? Well, I guess I take out the single malts, right? Do I have any single malts here?
Go Chivas, Dewars, Dalmore.
And the Glens the last? I got them lined up then.
All right, Hold on.
What, is that wrong?
No, my freaking
sphincter?
No, my Google Doc is all kinds of sorts of fucked.
Okay. Well, you just named off all my drinks, so you know what the fuck I'm talking about, right?
You only had the 3?
4. You just named off. Oh, I have the Glenlivet is the last one.
Glenlivet?
Yeah.
Do that one last.
All right. So I'll do the Chivas first?
Right.
Cracked open my nip. So I don't know how much this thing actually holds. Well, it's not really. Oh, that's enough. I can have 2 with this little nip. Oh my God, it smells pretty good. That's weird. It doesn't smell bad. I don't want to throw up.
See, I told you they have different smells. It probably smells like honey, right?
It's like a honey spiced rum. It smells like, or maybe some agave nectar. I smell a little, almost like a agave nectar tequila thing going on. Yep. Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh wow. That's actually not very harsh at all. I think I could drink that. Huh. That's weird. It doesn't even burn. This is weird. I'm actually in shock.
What did you do? The single malt or?
I don't know. I did what Doug told me to. It's the 12, let's see, premium Scotch. The problem is the labels are so tiny.
Yeah.
I can't read the damn label. It's a blended Scotch. Okay, so this one's blended. This should be, if this is as bad as it gets, then that's not too bad. Dave,
no,
I don't know what your problem is, Dave.
It's going to be, you should do them in succession, like right now. So do that. And then now try your Johnny Walker.
I don't have Johnny Walker.
You're gonna notice something.
I don't have Johnny Walker, so I'll notice right away because it's empty. So the Dewars is next, I guess. White label, so blended. It's still blended, though. Should I try? Do I have a non-blended? I have a single malt. Should I do the single malt or just go with the next blended?
Try the Johnny Walker. I think it's going to be really different from what
I
just had.
I don't have Johnny Walker.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay. Don't try that
that's
one.
That would be a problem. I
someone
have
else has.
Dalmore, Glenlivet, and the Dewars. Dewars. I'll do hers. I'll do the Dewars. Well, yeah, that'll be good. Dewars. It melts the ice a little bit. I should probably put these in the refrigerator.
That's why I don't put it over ice. I guess I'm not like too Scottish person.
Yeah, tell me about that. You don't put it over ice, huh?
I don't put it over ice because I don't want the ice melting in it. Well, and it will, unless you're like outside in a freezing cold day.
I hate it when my water touches my Scotch.
I do. I like it plain. I like it just on its own.
Well, now this one doesn't have the Dewars. Doesn't have the. It's not as powerful. It doesn't smell as the other one has a little bit of smokiness.
Really?
This seems a little more
sort of surprises
light.
Me because usually when it's a sweet one, it's not as smoky.
And the other one's light. It kind of tastes a little more like a blended vodka. Like a dirty vodka. No, I mean, it's not necessarily bad. Like, I've had, neat rum. That can get foul. This, which being no ice, I've also had it with ice. And that might be the difference. So I'm used to, when I have rum, just straight rum, it attacks your face. Like, it wants to just rip it all off. Like, it's so... It bombarded with alcohol. This has alcohol, but you could feel it kind of tickle the tongue, but not as much as it should. Even tequila will turn your tongue numb pretty quickly. Like an Añejo, this is not really doing that. I found the Duers to be lighter. But besides, it actually is physically almost a little lighter in color. It doesn't have as much scent. Just smelling it, it almost just smells like alcohol. And like a brown sugar alcohol. Which isn't too bad. I mean, my description might actually taste more than, or seem better than it is. But you said you didn't really care for the Duers, right, Doug? Is it because it's very single dimension? Like, there's not, it seems watered down to me.
Yeah, no, I just, I have a couple of scotches that I prefer, specifically the Dalwhinnie and the Oban.
Well, yeah, I mean, you prefer them for a reason.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome.
I can't argue with that. Shit, you know, what am I going to do? Well, all right. I'm going to keep these because I want to keep tasting these because I keep finding new things that in them. So let me just get on to a little of the scotch first. The first big key here is the scotch whiskey is, of course, made in Scotland. This is like champagne, right? Champagne's made in Champagne, France. Tequila's made in Mexico. They just have to be. There's some exceptions, but they have to be. Scotland, I don't think there's any exceptions. They will kill you if you try and make scotch out of their country. Not really sure about that. I'm just making that up. But it sounds good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... The other thing is, if you're in Britain, you're probably used to simply asking for whiskey, and you just get scotch. It's like magic. Boop, scotch shows up. That's not true here. If you ask for whiskey, you don't know what you're getting, because there's two different ways of spelling whiskey. There's one, and I led this over at the beginning of the show, there's whiskey that's spelled W-H-I-S-K-E-Y, and then if you just leave off the E, you've got whiskey again. But this one is the scotch representation of the way they think about it more in Europe. So if you're here, you order whiskey, you could end up with Jack Daniels. Who the fuck knows? If you're in Europe or England, you're probably going to end up with some sort of scotch. And I think that's okay. Because, I mean, if you're in Scotland, you probably... Yeah, well, if you're in Scotland and you order whiskey and somebody gives you JD, you should be shot in the face with a shotgun. Right?
Or maybe reprimanded in a loud voice?
Wow.
I don't know.
I figured
whichever way you want to take it.
I was just figuring that at some point Dave was going to pipe up and blame me for something, but it didn't happen. So we let Doug come in with his vote system and his legalization of doing the right thing. Anyway, whatever. Fine. We won't shoot them in the face, but you should give them a funny look.
Wait a minute. What are you saying? I'm the designated asshole?
Well, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, you're probably right.
With different words. Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. And then you'll also notice in publications, they kind of screwed up. They can use whiskey one way or the other, and sometimes it just changes, and you don't know why. Now, a good publication in the know will probably publish, you know, if they're talking about scotch, they're going to use they're going to drop the E when they're talking about whiskey. Even in the same sentence, they should put an E back in. That doesn't always happen. And I think it ticks people off, like people who are big scotch drinkers, because they see it as a problem. Like, it's almost like saying, instead of scotch, you're saying... vodka, right? It's that type of change for them. So if you look in the store, you'll probably notice it more. Like, I never really paid attention to it. And then when I went in, I noticed everything that has scotch spelled it without the E. So that's kind of neat. Like many other alcohols we've covered, scotch has legal standards, like we said, that they have to conform to. This is the Scotch Whiskey Order of 1990 in the UK and the Scotch Whiskey Act of 1988. These define some standards for scotch. And this is kind of cool. It must be distilled in a Scottish distillery. Now, that's not to say anything else after the scotch has been distilled. So as long as it's distilled in a Scottish distillery, you're good. 94.8% or less alcohol by volume to help retain the flavors of the raw materials. Basically, don't screw it up. I think wines do that too. You have to, you know, certain wines have to be mixed with a certain type of grape and only so many different varieties of other grapes and certain percentages. So, you know, people who drink their alcohol, they're really strict about stuff. They have more rules than others in other fields that don't even need rules. Like, they create such strict standards to get a specific consistency in taste because it represents their entire fucking country, right? So you got to do it right. And it has to be matured in Scotland in oak casks for 3 years and 1 day. I guess 12 is okay, but 3 years and a day. So I don't know if, like, on the third year, do they all just sit there watching the clock? Like, come on, 24 more hours. Let's do this.
Actually, they have parties.
Oh, shit. We get to go there for the third year.
See, that's what I'm saying.
We're doing
everybody drinks all the other scotch that aged the day before that night. And then to celebrate the new one, they drink that one too.
That's awesome. I don't know if you're making that up, but it's still a good story.
I'm totally making it up.
All right, that's good.
But
it would, this is a good,
that's
a good
what
story.
I would do.
I would. Now, their other thing is they can't have any additives besides water and caramel coloring. I don't even know why you need caramel coloring. Doesn't that kind of fake things up? I mean, that's like soda.
Well, I mean, in theory, you should be able to get all of your coloring out of
the oak,
out of the barrels that it's matured in.
Yeah. So to me, that's like you're cheapening. If you have, maybe that's the way they make cheaper brands. If you need to make something cheap, you caramel color that shit up to make it look older, to make it look more aged.
That's like a cheap tequila trick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You do that with tequila. They do that with a lot of different things. So, you know, that's maybe, you know what? I think they also do it with rum. So there's a lot of ways you can, that just threw me off when they said, oh yeah, you can have caramel coloring. Okay, that's cool. They also said that the bottles can have no less than 40% alcohol by volume, and I believe that's the same with vodka in that regard, at least in most countries like Russia. I challenge you to find a bottle of vodka that's not 40 ABV, damn it. Now, before we get into everybody's reviews, I just want to touch, because this is going to become an issue in a few minutes when we start reviewing them, and that's the different types of whiskey. Now, I don't know a lot about these, so I had to do some research. Like there's a single malt, which is 100% malted barley from one distillery. Now, if you need to know more about malted barley, you need to go listen to episode 16 where Doug clears all this shit up. He malts the crap out of everything. Or in realistically, what he's doing is he's teaching you how to make beers and how malts become a component of beers and what malted barley is. So you go to wind back and listen to that episode for that, for exactly how single malts come to be. There's also single grain, which is a grain whiskey from a single distillery. Then there's vatted pure blended malt whiskeys. That's a blend of single malt whiskeys from different distilleries. And then blended grain, as it sounds, it's grain whiskeys blended together from multiple distilleries. And then blended scotch whiskey, a blended single malt and grain whiskeys from multiple distilleries. So you're going to get a different style. And I don't know if it does matter for price. But I think if you like the taste of a specific whiskey, then that's your whiskey. Blended or not, it doesn't really matter. Or you like them both. But everybody I talk to, like the snobs, they all talk single malt. Nobody really wants to talk about blended. Has anybody else noticed that, or is that you guys' same opinion? You go single malt all the way?
Yeah. Again, if you're going to be Scotch snob, you need to make sure that's why you stay away from things like Johnny Walker and Dewars.
But Johnny Walker has a green label, and I believe that is a single malt.
No, you're right. Johnny Walker does have the single malt. Like, they have the green. Is the Black Label single?
No,
it's a blend.
Okay, so the green label and then the blue label. But at that point, you're getting into stupid, ridiculous amounts of money for something that, I guess, in my opinion, you can just do well with going with one of the other distilleries.
Well, here's the deal. I had done some research, and dude, not only did I do research, I did pricing comparisons. A red label, Johnny Walker, red label has 35 different whiskeys. It's intended for mixed drinks. New Hampshire Liquor Store, it's $22.99. A black label is 40 whiskeys. Don't know why I guess it's better to increase the whiskey count. I thought it would be the opposite. It has to be aged for 12 years. Now, that's $29.99 at the New Hampshire Liquor Store. You're talking $22 to $29. You're not paying a lot of extra to get the next bump up, if you will. It's weird because the other one, they don't tell you the age, but the black label is a consistent 12-year age. So, but your value is, it seems that you're getting more for the extra $4. But I don't know. Maybe if you don't like it, that would definitely make a difference. The green label is vatted malts. That is a blend. Here you go. It's a blend of 15 single malt whiskeys, used to be called pure malts. That's $50 at the New Hampshire Liquor Store. So it's still a blend. It's just a blend of single malts.
Well, all blends are blends of single malts.
So, and normally I think they do that for complexity. Like because a single malt whiskey is going to have, it might have one dimension. And they do the same thing with wines. If you get a Merlot, you're not just getting a single Merlot plant. You know, you're not getting grapes from this one. You're usually getting them from a blend of Merlot that have different properties to them. And the same with whiskeys. If one whiskey's way oaked, like very creamy and smoky, you might blend that with something that's got a different dimension to it to give you a better taste, which is going to raise the price because, I mean, you've done everything good. So you're getting your green malt. They have a gold label, which is 15 single malt whiskeys, including the very rare Clenish or Clenelsh or something malt, some special malt. That's going to be $80. And then the blue label, Johnny Walker Premium, every bottle, serial numbered and sold in a silk-lined box accompanied by the Certificate of Authenticity. Holy shit. $189.99.
I actually had that one time. It was completely lost on me, but...
Yeah, this is the guy who I throw up every time I taste the stuff. Oh, let's give him the most expensive and best stuff there is.
No, I was in like Japan or something, and when you want to get fucked up in Japan, apparently that's when the whiskey comes out of some flavor. So,
oh, I see.
I thought they were trying to impress me kind of thing.
That's like a Boone's Farm advocate being given a bottle of high expensive red wines, right? I don't know if there was such thing as a Boone's Farm advocate, but if there was.
I'm sure if he works for Boone's, you know.
Blue Hawaiian. I'm just saying, there's nothing in this world that tastes more like the beach than the Boone's Farm Blue Hawaiian.
This is probably true. It tastes like a little sand and a little, maybe fake suntan lotion type sense. I mean, that's good. I agree with you. For $2, it's hard to beat that. Curacao is one of the things I would use, and maybe some coconut rum. But besides that, I think you're right on spot with that one. Now, let's see. I think we should, you know what? Let's have Kate go, because I was going to call out Dave, but I think Dave, I like to watch Dave suffer. So I think we should hold off on Dave.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I thought I already went, but I just have two.
I'd like to know a little about the, like, what you consider the differences between.
Okay. Well, I have Glenfiddich Special Reserve Single Malt aged 12 years and Johnny Walker Red Label. And they're two very different scotches. One obviously is a single malt, one's a blended. The Glenfiddich being the single malt, I could easily sit and sip, no problem. Tastes great, smells great. It smells sweet. It smells like honey. It tastes a little bit spicy, but not like the Johnny Walker. And it's just very, very smooth. It's definitely a strong, taste of alcohol, but it's still just a really smooth scotch. The Johnny Walker, on the other hand, as you mentioned, I have the red label, which is actually intended for mixed drinks. I bought it because it was the only other scotch on the shelf in nip form, but I personally can't drink it in a neat drink at all.
Really?
I'd have to mix it and try to disguise.
Is it because it's foul?
It is foul. It's not like what I think of when I think of sitting down and having a scotch. It's very smoky. It smells smoky. It tastes smoky. I mean, it just tastes like something you're not supposed to drink straight.
I have a problem with, like, who makes it? I mean, I understand that's how it's
better
supposed to
over
be.
Ice.
I don't think it's intended that way. I think it's intended strictly to mix.
That's what I hear. I just don't understand why they would do something. I mean, why would you make something that's so, like, awful by itself that it has to accompany something else? But, I mean,
vodka.
Vodka doesn't taste bad, though.
Well, there are some things that the only way you're going to taste them is if it's in a if it's strong by itself. You know what I mean?
Well,
no, I'm not drinking vodka straight ever.
You can. I know people who do that.
Yeah, because they have to.
Oh yeah, I know. But no, but there are people who drink vodka by itself. I don't understand it because it doesn't make any sense to me.
I think that's the exception to the rule. I don't know where I'm wrong, but I don't think too many people will order a vodka straight.
But okay. Let's play. I'll play with that. Okay. If that's the case, what that is, that's a mixing alcohol. But this is like, that would be
never
like saying,
agrees with me.
But no, but that would, I'm playing the, if everybody's going to agree with you, this doesn't make for a very good argument. So I'm trying to find a way. But what I'm saying though is if they're all intended to be mixed, and let's say they are, because let's say 90% of the people do it that way, then people can say vodka is intended to be mixed. But this is a variety of like scotch. So it would be like saying, well, a tequila, maybe this is true too now that I think about it, Cuervo Gold can't be drank straight, but it tastes fine blended. I think it tastes awful blended. I think it tastes awful straight. Like, there's no way I'm going to drink that at all. But
a lot of the lower end. Vein, I mean, it makes sense that,
like an Añejo tequila you're going to sip, but a silver, probably not. You're probably going to mix it in with something else, right?
But exactly. And but there the silver doesn't taste bad by itself. There are people in the world that do want to drink silver on its own. That's the exception to the rule. But most people say, you know what, if I'm going to have a silver, it's going to be in a mixed drink.
I mean,
you're just talking about, you know, black and white, and it's not always going to be black and white. There's going to be some people that like it. I'm sure there's some people in the world that love to sip Johnny Walker Red Label. I just don't think there's that many.
I see. Right. Okay.
It's really not good.
But the thing is, Blanco tequila is still good sipped. It's just not as exciting, right? What I hear from you is that it's not that it's not exciting, as bland and boring. It's not good. it's foul, right?
Yeah. It's just my opinion. I'm sure there's people that would disagree with it. Just like I don't like it over ice, but other people would say, oh, you have to have it over
but
ice.
But you're chilling it.
Everybody has their own way of, you know,
but if you keep it
specific taste buds that like different.
I think yours is probably very similar to icing because you keep it in the freezer, right?
Yeah, but right now it's almost room temperature, okay with that. I like it.
That's hardcore.
Not the Red Label, but the Glenfiddich.
But in my opinion, keeping something in the freezer and putting it on ice is really close to the same. It's just a matter of how long you left it on the ice, because the ice is going to melt into it and dilute, and the ice is going to warm up itself. Where if yours is nice and super cold, as long as you drink it within a reasonable time, that's kind of like putting it on ice, except for you're saving a step, as long as you've got room in your freezer. I don't, because I have 7 bottles of vodka in there. But for, again, I'm not an old...
And you wonder why your family thinks you're an alcoholic?
No.
That's how you know he's not.
Yeah, that's
true. He actually has all seven in his freezer.
Holy shit, Doug. That's right. That's why all my beer goes bad, because an alcoholic wouldn't have any beer, right? They'd be looking for it.
Wait a minute. So if you have 7 bottles of vodka in your freezer, do you have any, food in your freezer?
I have some frozen pizza. I got 6
bottles of vodka. Doesn't take up that much space.
No.
Yeah, okay.
And I also have, you know what does take up space? The 5 martini glasses. But they're empty.
This is the road that I was going down. I knew there would be other stuff.
No. Okay. I got frozen peas. There's food in there. Some chicken and beef, and I even got 2 loaves of bread. Okay, so there's food in there. It's the thing is, I just need them for the show, and I never know when I'm going to eat. And they're all different flavors. I got chocolates. I've got pear. I've got some Kettle One Citron, lemon lime zest stuff. So I've got all these flavors now. I don't keep my regular tequilas in the freezer. I mean, my regular vodkas, because I still have 3 more bottles outside the freezer that I. That sounds bad too. Anyway, let's
move on.
It's
probably time for an intervention.
Yeah. Damn it. So you don't. Are there any things that? So you're saying that, Kate, yours are. But let's assume the Johnny Walker Red Label is just foul. The other one, the Special Reserve. Now that's a nip as well, right?
Yeah.
And you say that's a sweeter. Do you get the same smokiness in there?
No.
None at all.
I mean, I think there's always a little bit of a hint of smokiness. It just depends on what level. Like with the Red Label, it's offensive. But with the Glenfiddich, it's definitely the overriding sense that you get of smell, that I get of smell, is like a fruity honey type of smell.
Definitely
honey. And for taste, it's a little bit spicy, but
tastes right away, or like after you swallow it, you get the little twinge of spice. Because that's what I'm getting with the Doers.
Yeah, kind of after it goes down.
Yeah, I'm getting that with the Doers too.
Spicy. It's just a really smooth scotch. I definitely highly recommend it. And the Johnny Walker Red Label, I'm sure it tastes great in mixed drinks. I can't even think
of a drink that you'd mix.
I was just going to say, I don't think I do any scotch mixed drinks, but
no.
I don't know.
Maybe I haven't done it either.
No.
But and the other thing that I learned a couple days ago, I was listening to Wine Library TV had a episode on mezcal, and one of the guys that's been producing, he's like one of the 4 he's growing producer in the U.S., said that a lot of mezcal will be smoky when it's not so good. Like, not because the smokiness is the thing that makes it bad, but it is there to mask the foul taste of the alcohol. So that the higher, and the same thing with wines. Wine, they go with the oak. So an over-oaked wine is very creamy and buttery, and it removes some of the taste that you probably don't want. So I think that works pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, so those were the 2 that I had, and I think that they were a good selection because they're so different, and it kind of shows, you know, someone might not like scotch, and maybe they had a brand or a blended scotch that just really wasn't something that you should be sipping, or maybe they had, you know, I don't know. It just from brand to brand, there can be a huge difference in what you taste, I think.
Yeah, and I've noticed that just with the two I have open so far. Like, one is a more watered down, I think.
Yeah.
And one is a little more sweet.
I could put ice in it.
And just ice the crap out of it. And I think, you know what? I want to slap at myself.
No. Nobody's being bitchy.
I like Dave. No, I'm
just
good.
Everybody's opinionated.
I'm adding conversation where no one else will.
You're very good at that.
Well, I just because I don't really know. I want to argue some points to see if there's something we can explore there. But I like that. I don't have red, and I wanted to try it because what you're experiencing might be the way I interpreted.
I want to try something
scotch.
that at this point everybody has said
is bad.
Awful.
Exactly. Because remember, I'm the guy who came in here going, this stuff is going to be wretched, right? So
it's not if you drink the good stuff.
But I don't remember. Look, my experiences are not with good scotch. I don't even know if my experiences are with bad scotch. They're really with bad whiskey. So I want to know if the red label tastes more like what I remember as a puking experience, or...
It does. Move on.
I bet it does.
Okay.
Because didn't you...
Doug's being bitchy.
I guarantee it does.
Yeah, he is being bitch. The first one that you had, remember, you were like, oh, this doesn't smell that bad. And I said, does it smell like honey? And you said, yeah, it does. What was that one?
That's the Chivas?
And did it taste good, too? I can't remember.
This is the better of the two, yeah. It has more dimension. The other one, the Doers, is very watered down to me. It's just... There's not a lot going on. It does have a little spicy thing after it, though. But it doesn't have...
Is that the Doers white label?
Yes.
Okay.
Why is that? Am I calling this right? Or is that supposed to be their high-end stuff?
No. You're definitely at the bottom of the barrel there, bub.
Okay. Perfect. That's where I want to go. I try and set the bar really low so I can exceed it by just tripping. Okay, so we got Kate. I think Kate did the right thing. She got the barrel at the bottom and the barrel at the top and was able to tell us why the stuff at the bottom isn't good. Vile. Doug.
Yeah, don't drink it.
Don't drink it.
Derek.
What do you got going on?
Got the Don Winnie 15-year-old.
You have a $50 bottle of scotch and you like it. Okay. So what is it that makes your scotch better than everybody else's?
It's a very mellow, smoky, peaty, slightly sweet maltiness. It has a beautiful golden color to it. I don't know. I guess if you want to start breaking out the hints of shit, you can say it has hints of vanilla and all that kind of bullshit. But it's just, it's excellent. It is just, it's silk. It's silk on the tongue.
The vanilla.
Like every 15-year-old should be. Silk on the tongue.
Sorry, I'm just drinking.
And so the room in hell gets a little bit bigger.
Now, I like your explanation because I'm tasting vanilla now. That's awesome. I like the vanilla. It gives you it. I didn't. I was trying to. There was other tastes, and this is the one I was talking about. Was the Chivas? It had some other flavors, and it is the vanilla. But it's not. It's probably not $50 a bottle. I don't really know.
No. Well, no. No, that's not. But this. It's just. It's excellent. It's a joy to drink. And that's why when we were initially thrown out doing scotch, I just decided to go high end because A, I wanted to do high end for the show, and B, I wanted to drink it. And
so
it's so good.
This was an excuse to buy. Did you? You didn't already have this in the house, did you? Or did
no? This was an excuse to go.
Yeah,
out, buy it.
That's what I thought.
What brand is it? I missed it.
Don Winnie.
Oh, okay.
I don't have that. They probably don't make that in Nips.
I will say, though, in the event you have, and not only you guys, but anybody that's listening to this that hasn't really ventured into scotch, if you have the opportunity to, there's like a gift pack of Nips of, I think it's 8 of the classic distilleries out of Scotland. You can get a little gift pack in it, and it has 8 Nips from the different distilleries. And that is an excellent idea to... Or gift it to yourself, gift it to somebody else. You can go through, you can taste all these different scotches, and you can actually figure out which kind you like, which is how I discovered that I like the Don Winnie, and I like the Oatman, and I like the Craganmore.
Because those were the ones.
More than the other ones.
That's
And I know you can get them in the New Hampshire liquor stores, because when I was up there and I was looking for them, they didn't have them because they sold out.
So is it it only comes down in the holidays, or is it always there?
I couldn't answer that.
Oh, probably a holiday thing. That would have been great for me here. Of course, I would be here all night doing that, but, you know, that's cool. So did you chase it already with your oak-aged beer?
I have. And it's actually, it's the chaser of it is really nice, because it is so malty and so sweet that it's a nice balance to the smoky peatiness of the scotch itself. Whereas if you're just trying to drink this as a normal beer, you're like, oh my God, this is awful, because it just doesn't go down right, because it is so lacking in hops.
So this kind of makes a different dimension.
It doesn't have a balance, and so this actually is the balance to the scotch.
So you can't drink this stuff without without scotch handy.
I would say that it helps.
That's kick ass. Hey Dave, mm-hmm. How about you try one of yours, and I'll try one of mine.
Okay.
Because you've got three, and I've got two more.
I got the Johnny Walker Black. So somebody either told me or read or something that I should do the blended first and then try the single malt afterwards. Sound
yes.
about right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so you can see what scotch should taste like.
Okay. So I've had the Black Label like sitting in ice for a little while, so hopefully that'll help a bit, but let's see.
Watered down, you put a fire hose in there.
Yeah, basically. So I put a drop in and about a gallon of water, and that'll be a good. So it's definitely got a smoky thing going on. I've never been to Scotland, but I've been to Ireland, and there's something about peat smoke that's really acrid.
Acrid. Wait. Call for definition.
Acidic.
Okay.
Acidic.
I knew that. I was just testing you.
And you can kind of like smell it in the air when it's wafting by. So it's kind of a weird thing. Like at first it smells kind of interesting, but after a while it gets, I don't know, it just kind of bothers me. But I definitely, in the scotches that I've tried, or a lot of them anyways that I remember, I get that acrid kind of overtone to it.
And I'm going to guess this is where he heaves.
No, haven't thrown up yet. I'm doing good.
All right.
I think what I've mostly had in the past is probably blended scotches. I'm not sure. But so it's got a little bit of like a bitter, acrid vibe to me.
That's not good.
We got the acrid. Yeah.
We got the acrid.
Yeah, I know. I keep repeating myself.
he's got that one.
Sorry.
You got that down.
So it's okay. I mean, it smells actually pretty good. It smells like it's going to be this really warm, rich kind of thing, but I just don't get the same out of that. So what I figured is I'd try one of the single malts.
Okay. Oh, I hear the nip cracking.
Oh, yeah. And let's see what this goes like.
I got my single malt, too.
What do you think, ice or no?
Oh, yeah. Dude, ice, right. Definitely. Especially for you.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
This smells completely, the single malts, I got the Dalmore. It says it's a single malt scotch whiskey. Completely different.
The single malt does.
It smells like it smells like somebody just hit me in the face with a wooden board.
See, this one doesn't smell as smoky to me.
No, it's like it's if you were to take like a 2x4 and dip it in honey and then like burn it, I think that's what we got here.
Yeah, just a little bit of it's a sweet woody kind of smell.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice.
It has a nice aroma. I don't know how it's gonna taste.
That's the single malt.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a single malt.
Whoa, that's a little stronger.
Wow, a lot stronger actually.
It's like a malt ball or something. What is that? Is that the oak?
I don't know. It's definitely got a.
It's not.
I've got
sweet,
a burned
super
wood
sweet.
Taste.
Yeah, it's not.
I,
like
I don't
super
mean that
sweet.
In a bad way.
No. It doesn't. It doesn't burn though. Like the throat. It doesn't. It does not have a lot of alcohol flavoring. Like a just raw alcohol. Like a vodka. You know, with a vodka. Now this is 43% alcohol. Vodka is about the same. This is more. And the vodka just burns. It's like just ethanol. It's like lighting your tongue on fire. I don't get that with this.
It's got a lot more of a complicated flavor to it. It's Doug or Kate, do they like torch the inside of the barrels before they put the scotch in?
Yeah, I think that they are burned to add the flavor, you know, the smokiness. That is a common theme of scotches. And the reason that it is more mellow than vodka is because it's aged.
Oh, that. But what does that take? I mean, it can't take out the alcohol. Right?
No, it doesn't take it out. It
brings in the other stuff.
What it does is it allows everything to just mellow out. And that's why, in theory, the older your scotch, the more mellow it's going to be.
And mellow is smooth and not as acrid. No.
Yeah. No. 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 Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I'll buy that. Now you know what, and it does. Let's go back to the tequila comparison. This is like a like I see the blended as like a Blanco, and this as more of an añejo.
Yeah,
in complexity, in color too. The color of my blended looks more like a Coors Light, and this looks more like a Reposado or like a not like dark yellow, but a gold. Where the other one looks like a light gold, like maybe a fake Mexican gold or something. You know, like that.
You know, it's almost the same as the Johnny Walker, but they could be playing games with caramel color in that. I have no idea.
Oh yeah, that's true. They probably do. Because that's legal.
And the reason I was asking about the barrels is because, in addition to like the kind of woody taste, I'm also getting charcoal. Like, you know how a fire smells after it's gone out? It's got a little bit of a...
Yeah, like on the stove.
I'm not going to use acrid because you guys will jump all over my shoes. But...
I think, I don't know, it could be the barrels. I don't really know that much. I thought it sort of differed between brands, like how they're, you know... stored or whatever.
It could be the storage. It could be the.
I mean, I know the peat thing comes from part of the process, right? But the barrels are a different beast.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
So, like the peat is a distinctive.
Exactly.
Kind of
that's
smell,
what right? I was gonna say because that's what they use to dry the barley.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I think that's what gives it. I think that's what gives Scotch a smoky flavor, right?
Okay, that makes sense.
The peat fire. The peat fire that they use to actually dry out the barley.
Right.
But
right.
I could be totally wrong on that.
I think you're right. And the difference in what I'm sorry to step on you. The difference in what I'm tasting is between the Johnny Walker and this is that with the Johnny Walker, I'm pretty much just tasting the peat. With this, I can taste the peat plus the wood.
Right. Because
it's
probably not
because it's the single malt.
Right.
It's very focused at that into that flavor profile. You're getting more complexity in every direction, not just in one. Where the other one, besides the fact that they might mask it, they just might not unmask it. They might not add any complexity, or it might not be aged long enough to really absorb some of the flavors of the barrel and kind of mellow out. And the other thing is, I don't know how they use their barrels here, but with like a tequila and some other ones where they'll use bourbon barrels, right? They use something different to give it a more unique profile. These could be barrels from other blended whiskeys. They could be new barrels. I don't know what the deal is with how they do them and if they're different. I'm sure they don't have to tell you, but
yeah, I don't know.
I mean that could be why they blend them too. They could make a single malt in fresh new barrels and then have older barrels and then blend those together to kind of, because you don't want something that's too wood, you don't want something too smoky, but if you blend them both together then maybe you get this type of result.
I think part of the blending, the reason for the blending is that it's cheaper because they take all these single malts that they buy up from these distilleries and then they blend them with cheaper grains.
Do you think they're single malts that wouldn't be able to stand on their own though?
I don't know. If they could stand on their own, why is everybody blending? Even the expensive Johnny Walker's a blend. And for $189,
you can make a lot more. Right? You buy up all these single malts and then you combine them with cheaper product, right?
Well, I could see that for like a red label or a black label, but if you're spending $189, they're obviously doing something different.
Well, right? Yeah, but you know what, dude? Who's spending the most advertising dollars, right?
Well, Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm wondering if it's one of those things where, like, Patron, you know, it's they're dumping a ton of money into the market, so people have this perception that this is a high-end thing. And, you know, maybe in reality it can't stand up against some of the other single malts out there. But, I mean, I'd never heard of Kraken Moore before, you know?
Right. It's true. If you flip over the back of a Playboy magazine, if it's going to have a one of these, it's going to be Johnny Walker.
Playboy has a back?
Yeah. If you, I was a subscriber, but I look carefully at the alcohol ads because I want to know this is my deal, right? I do alcohol, so I want to know what the hype is. Like, what are they selling besides Skoll? Everything's fucking Skoll lately. But they usually use Crown Royal, I see a lot. You know, Johnny Walker, I think. And
Absolute.
Oh, my God.
That Absolute ends up on a lot of magazine covers backs. God,
yeah, just... back covers.
Yeah, so J&B, didn't say that right.
J&B and Doers are pretty big advertisers as well.
Yep,
definitely J&B.
So there's a, you know, that has to cost a lot of money, and they got to make it back. There's a reason why Patron is $60, and I'm sure a lot of it's because they got to get their marketing money back. The other is they want a perception of high-end, top-tier alcohol, so $60 seems kind of high-end. I mean, if you're just going by a cost per dollar, it's not. But I'm still wondering, like, if they're blending, there could be multiple reasons. They could be blending lower end with higher end. They could be blending for specific flavor profiles. They could be blending for consistency. You know, there could be, like, I know with wine it's this way, but maybe not necessarily in a distill process, where you every year is different, right? You don't know how the specific grapes are going to react, so they'll blend them to get something maybe a little more consistent, where it's going to still be kind of different year by year. With beer, it's not an issue. You get a recipe, you stick to it, you do everything the same, you're going to get the same results.
Right.
I don't know if that's the same with this. If it wasn't, then maybe they blend them to try and build chemically, you know, taste-wise, the same result by just mixing different portions together. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you are correct in that observation, but I think that with scotch or any other liquor, you should have more control over your final product,
right,
than vintners have with their wine.
Because it's not wines as wild.
Wines are much more susceptible to producing something different depending on conditions of any given year and how the grapes turn out. Whereas if you use X tonnage of X malt and mix it with X amount of water and then boil it down and then distill it, in theory, you should, you know, be able to make the exact same goddamn thing.
That's true. Because,
you know, your grain is always tastes the same.
Right. It's more of a chemical science, like a beer. Maybe even easier. Now, do you have the... I hear you cracking open the Glenlivet over there, Dave?
Yeah, you caught me cheating. I was sniffing ahead of time.
No, so was I. Well, when I heard the... I'm like, oh, wait. Fuck.
All right, so you get the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. This is completely different than the other ones. Completely. Yeah, 100%. Oh, my God. It's cold. It's like...
All right, so I can't be a dumbass and just generalize scotch anymore. I guess they are very different.
This is citrus. I'm getting...
Is it the 12-year?
Yeah, I think everything
Actually,
I have
that,
is 12
years. That reminds me. Can you get anything less than 12-year?
Maybe red? They don't tell you.
It seems like that's like the magic number for...
I know. That seems to be the minimum for everything. It doesn't say in any of the rules that it has to be 12 years, but besides it just says it has to sit in cask for 3 years and a day, so technically 4 years is fine. But that might be more of a red label. You know, maybe that's why it's so harsh. They don't tell you either. That's usually a good key. When they decide not to tell you what the hell's in it, or they don't put like a date.
This one smells kind of creamy to me, by the way.
Yeah, I'm getting like, it's almost like somebody dumped some Sprite in here with lime and
smoke. Right. Although I'm really susceptible to, like, you could tell me that it smells like bread and it'd be like, yeah, that smells like bread.
No, but it smells a little like urine. No, I think that you might be thinking, what does this smell like? And somebody says it and then you're like, oh yeah, totally. That's what I was trying to, you know, grasp.
I think we've learned over the past 25 episodes that I don't really have a refined palate, so I don't know.
But when I go back now to the Dalmore, that one smells more sugarcane, more caramel, like not caramel color, but real caramel, or a butterscotch, which is still cool because it's just completely different. Holy shit! How do you know? You have to try all these. You cannot pick one and be like scotch is scotch. I'm gonna try this.
The thing is, well, all right, I gotta try this one too. Yeah.
That one burns a little more. Definitely a little extra burn.
Glenlivet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I'm sorry, say that again. What?
It burns.
It burns?
Yeah, like a little extra alcohol. Like even my tongue is a little numb. I wonder why. It's less alcohol.
I think it's the single malt. Everything I say, I keep saying I could be wrong. But here's the thing with, this is part of why I like scotch so much. And it's generally a single malt that I will drink. It kind of leaves your mouth sort of tingling. And I like that. I like to taste it after it's gone down. I like, you know, that you're kind of, I guess you could call it burning, but I call it more just sort of like, I don't know. It's like a nice sensation. It's like a warm tingling.
Yeah. And I got the same thing when I was doing some tasting of some Añejo the other day. It was like, but it was much more intense tingling than this.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, boom, right in your grill piece. But this is, I think I like the Dalmore a little better than the Glenlivet. But,
It's a little bit harsh for me.
I would be right there with you.
I don't know why. Yeah, I think Dave's right. I think it's harsher. It's got a little more abrasiveness to it. Like the alcohols are a little balanced weird. So you get the
aftertaste is certainly like way stronger.
Yeah. There's, you know what, maybe it's not as sweet. And we're looking for the sweets to kind of balance the alcohols, which is perfect. I mean, if you're going to have alcohol, if you can get sweet, you're going to nullify, and you're not going to really get that weird, not necessarily desirable taste. Now, that's just us. I mean, there's going to be people like, dude, I swear by this stuff, and that's cool. It's just not, I don't think I'd swear by this. I might, if I had to go out, and I might now, when I get some extra cash that I'm not spending on podcasts, I might just buy a bottle of the Dalmore. Or look at what, depending on the cost, I might try what Doug has without even necessarily getting a nip, since they probably won't find one. Just because, I mean, if I've tasted these and you said that's good, then, you know, it's not like it's going to taste rancid to me. I don't think. I mean, it's more years old.
Do you notice that this one is, it's a lot lighter than the others?
In color or in flavor?
In color.
Yeah.
Color.
Yeah, it's almost yellow, not gold.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a pale yellow almost.
Yeah. Yeah, this would be more resemblance of like a peepee or something. Like serious, like that is seriously the type of yellow it is. And like somebody might not have had enough water type of, and I was surprised. I thought, and I put this one at the end, I figured this was gonna be, well, Doug helped me align them. But I just like the caramely, the candy store Dalmore is just better sense, better taste.
It's all, you know, individual taste. Like you and I could drink the same thing, and you know, if I tend towards more of a sweet taste or, you know, whatever, I'm gonna like it better.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're into a sour, you know, the other one might be better. Or if you like a harsher, I want to say manly, but like a something that's balanced more in the alcohol arena than in the malty, chocolatey arena, that'd be good. And
the other thing that I think is great, that both you and Dave, since, you know, you don't particularly like scotch or you've had bad scotch experiences or whatever, I think it's great that you're seeing that there's, you know, depending on what kind you're tasting at the time, it's almost like totally different experience. Yeah. Like,
I think that's a really good point. I mean, in that there are different flavors in each of these things. I mean, I think that a lot of people would wind up going with a blended when they first start out simply because it's a lot lighter of a taste. You know?
Yeah, it's like a
kind
light
of, kind of like a, you know, a light beer or right. Something like that. But there's a lot of different characteristics to these. They're pretty complicated. Now, the thing is, I can't still see myself going to a place and ordering a scotch and sitting and sipping it, enjoying it. But
from an educational standpoint, and there's a
I
lot.
I would try it again. I mean, if somebody had a scotch that they were really jazzed on and,
right.
You know.
Especially if you've had a couple, because now you could be like, well, yeah, this is, I like this stuff or I don't like this stuff because, shit, I've had other stuff that's better. I might not drink any of them on a normal occasion. Like, I probably wouldn't sit down and drink scotch. Now, that might change. I think the more I drink it, the more I'd adapt to it and enjoy it. But I could tell you, by smelling all these, I can pick out exactly which one goes where, even if you mix them up. Like, it's that dramatic of a difference.
Yeah. It's a complicated drink, and I think that's pretty cool.
Which is weird, because I can do that with wines if they're higher ends or if they're well-made, like, really crafted in their traditional sense of the word, where not California fruit bombs, not like the difference between, you know, this name brand from that name brand that are, you know, big in the industry, but the like an Argentina wine versus a South African wine versus a French and a New Zealand, I would be able to see these same distinct differences. And now this is only one small area of the world, and they're all made there, and they're all completely different. I was just surprised. I figured they'd all be like, oh, scotch with, oh, this one's a little hint of this. This is a little hint of that. They're all entirely different. The blended ones, honestly, if I was to suggest somebody to have scotch, I would say get a nip of the blended ones. If you can tolerate it, then you should go just dump it out and go get a real one. Because
I'd go the other way around.
Oh, really?
I'd say go with a single malt. It's going to have a very distinctive flavor. It's just going to taste better, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to – I wanted to say that, but I was just afraid that if I said that, if they didn't like it, then they're out like $50. You know, seeing if it was like a shareware.
You can get some that aren't that expensive.
I guess, yeah, you just get one of these damn nips, right? And if you don't like that, then you'll buy it.
I was thinking more like if you're out with someone and I want to try scotch. Oh yeah, you should try. And
like you're at a bar
maybe
or something.
A single, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it would maybe taste a lot better than if to say, oh, why don't you try Johnny Walker?
Oh yeah, 100%. I would do the same thing. If you're going from it that way,
what the difference is between scotch and Irish whiskey?
It's once in Scotland, once in Ireland.
Well, I get that part. Thanks.
Yeah,
but
there's probably a little more to it. I really don't know.
No, because Irish, Irish whiskey. It's like Irish cream? No.
Because I've had, like, you know, Jameson and that kind of thing, and it's still, I don't know. I can't tell the difference, really. I guess they are, but I just don't know what it is.
The thing is, they're all different in Scotland, too.
Yeah, I would say it's probably along the lines of Irish whiskey is more like our whiskey.
Oh, that's not good.
So let's peat then.
Well,
ours tastes like rocket fuel, though. You know, like, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? Like, that's the stuff it's just, I don't know, mouth curdling. It's almost like the Glenlivet, but if you just got rid of the complexity and you just left in that stuff, the part I don't like.
Well, it depends on what you're drinking.
It's probably true.
For JD, the uninitiated, if you want to go for a high-end American whiskey that has some complexity to it, go for the Basil Hayden.
Whoa.
It's phenomenal.
Oh, really? What makes it – I mean, why is it – what's the – makes it so special? Like, what does it have to it? What does it bring to the table, dude?
If I had had it within the past 6 or 7 years, I could tell you.
Oh, okay.
I can't, but because I can't drink that anymore.
What, is it against the rules?
I distinctly recall the Basil Hayden being just exceptional for whiskey.
Okay, well, I'll believe it. Now, the other thing is, I don't know how far back American whiskey goes, but I did a little research on the brands in my... Chivas goes back. It's in 1801. That's when it was founded. The Glenlivet was founded in 1824. Not too long difference. The Douar is 1846. And Dalmore was 1839. They're all old brands. Like, old. It's just, I guess this is how they get their distinct taste. Is they've been doing it for a while, and that's what they want. That's what people like.
So they don't clean out the barrels very often.
Ever. Never. No. Yeah. I just
sent you guys a link that just kind of breaks down the differences between Irish and Scotch whiskey, but it sounds like the main difference is that Irish whiskey maybe has more, well, it says a softer, rounder flavor, but it also says it has more natural flavors of the barley, and it goes through a triple distillation process where the Scotch goes through two, distilled only two times. But
I'm a big fan of the first bullet point.
Yeah. Irish whiskey is made in Ireland.
I'm just wondering if they still use peat in Ireland or not. I actually went to the Jameson factory, but I don't remember what the hell they did. So,
it does say that Irish malts generally is dried without peat.
Oh, it does.
Or any other smoke. So I guess it would be, you wouldn't get that smoky flavor that you guys are getting with some of yours and that I got with my Johnny Walker.
But that's...
Man, I fail at reading tonight. What the hell?
But you're...
Well, it's way down on the list.
You're...
That's a lot of words. I can't...
There's like 17 bowls here. But the thing is, honestly, I like this... Now, what you're describing as smoky is intensely smoky. I like the complexity. And when you start distilling things down, you're removing what are known as impurities, right? In the terms of vodka, the whole goal, like a 6 or 5 times distilled, is to get rid of every impurity so it has no flavor. Right?
Yeah, when you're burning dirt to dry something, you're going to get some stuff.
You're going to get something.
And I didn't know it was distilled down that many to vodka.
Yeah.
Six, wow.
I think,
that explains a few things.
Wait, how many times did Doug do the Brita thing?
Not enough. Distilled bottle.
Seven.
Okay.
Seven or eight.
I'm trying to figure. I thought Tito said how many times it was. Oh, 6 times. Yep, Tito's handmade American vodka is distilled 6 times, which is probably the most.
It's pretty pure.
Yeah, it's pure. And then they cut it with water, right? You take this pure ethanol and you cut it with water, and boom, you've got yourself, you know, your 40 ABV vodka. And you're like, well, that's great. You've got water in what tastes like water mixed together, but will knock you on your ass. It always seemed to me to be the bass average way of doing things. You think you want impurities because they're not really impurities. They're not defections. They're part of the earth. They're part of whatever went into making the natural flavors of the drink. So to me, it seems like Irish whiskey kind of leans towards the rounder and softer, meaning we're getting rid of some of these neat tastes that you can explore, which is not to me as desirable. But since I don't have any here, I can't make a case for that. Just saying. But my experiences with American whiskey has been Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. Is that bad?
Well, I like Jim Beam, but it's just me. I like Jim Beam. I like Wild Turkey. I like Yeah.
I wanted to say it first, but damn it. But yeah.
You knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming.
And it's my favorite.
I haven't had the night you drink that all by itself, put in the freezer.
Yep.
That's crazy.
I got to come to terms with the fact that I'm just a big wuss when it comes to hard alcohol, and drinking it straight is just, I can't do it.
No, it's not even being a wuss. It's just a matter of like what your taste is, or what, you know how you eat something and it reminds you of something or whatever. I don't know. I just like sitting down with a whiskey or a scotch because it warms me up. It reminds me of winter time.
Yeah, I can see the appeal. It's like, it's got a warming kind of thing. It's got a really cool smell to it. It's kind of classy, but.
Yeah. I don't know.
To me, it's like truly, I'm going to sit down and relax and have a drink. And that to me is having, a whiskey.
This mental state of mind, though, is important too. Because when you're sitting down, you're relaxing and you've got you grab this, dude, I'm in this for the long run. I'm going to sit, I'm going to chill. And this is just what I'm going to do. Everybody else
can
fuck off.
It takes me an hour to drink a shot. If I have a really bad day, I'll just literally do a shot. But if I'm going to sit down and have a drink, I could nurse that for an hour. Easy.
I think that might be what killed scotch for me. It's that most of my experiences with it early on were like, get annihilated as quickly as possible. And this happens to be the alcohol you have. You know what I mean?
That is actually
a
problem.
How long the brain holds on to those bad memories.
Yeah. Oh, it really is. Yeah.
Dude, I remember the first time.
I'm telling you, the first time I had scotch was I was an exchange student in Spain. So I was like 16. And we went out one night to some random club in the middle of Mallorca. And I was drinking J&B and like Sprite or something. And just was so, so sick. Like I was throwing my shoes up, you know what I mean? And just, I couldn't stand the smell of it for the longest time. And then like after that, my experiences with it were you go out in Asia and it's like invariably some bottle of Johnny Walker shows up at some point. And they start car bombing your beer or whatever it happens to be. And it always ends really poorly.
Yeah, you're going down the wrong paths is what you have the wrong friends. But I think there's a point to that. Like in school, that's what we did, right? For me, There's a stage. The first stage is you get as hammered as possible, and then you can't figure out why there's like random people in your room the next day, or you fall, or like some women would just fall into the wrong rooms, get naked, and fall in bed, and people would be like, "What the hell's going on? This naked chick's in my bed, right?" It's just wrong.
I've never said that, unfortunately.
I had a buddy who had that happen. So it's just it's out there. Like people do stupid shit. Then you get to the second phase. This is the phase where you realize, okay, I know my cracking point. I know where to get where I can get fucked up. I don't want to get fucked up to the point of throwing up all over my bathroom because now I got to clean it. I want to get screwed up just enough to be able to pass out and wake up the next day without too bad of a headache. That was the stage where I was just doing like shots of creme de menthe and Bailey's, just like six or seven at a time, right? Then you get by that, and then you learn to enjoy some of the actual alcohols. I think that's where we are now, where you're like, you know what? This has flavor. That's pretty cool.
You know what it is for me, too?
Yeah.
That I don't get from beer or like a mixed drink, like a margarita or whatever. What I get from whiskey, scotch, and like a red wine is it literally I can feel my whole body, the tension just leaving my body. Even after I have like one sip, I just feel like, and I'm sure it's psychological.
Yeah, that's the psychological.
There's also a little bit of physiological because it really does warm you up. But
I get the same thing with coffee.
I can just feel, no, not really.
No, like I do. Like
I just
if I have a
Vicodin, it's easier.
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, coffee's a stimulant. This is definitely a depressant. And I can just feel my whole body just sort of relax and just kind of warm up. And so to me, it's a different experience. Whereas in the summertime, you might want to grab, whatever, a margarita or something. But
yeah, it's a lot of it for me is the state of mind. Like when I said coffee, I mean, like in the morning, I'm doing the opposite. I am unstimulated. I am just like out of bed and I'm just don't want to be awake. Coffee gets me into that. But I don't drink it to just get like charged up and fucking race to work. I enjoy having a mug of coffee. I enjoy it. We even halfway through, I'm still enjoying it the whole time. If I on a Saturday or Sunday morning going out to a breakfast place where the coffee is awful, I still enjoy the cup of coffee. Right? I don't care. It's just the mood. This stuff, if you get something awful, it's just vile. And that's different. For me, I think there's a lot of mental changes. Like just having it and going in and having it warm you up, you're like, that's cool. where margarita is definitely not going to get you that same place the same way. That is more a different meant. That's like you said, it's like sunset. I just want to sit here out of work, sit on the porch, drink a couple margaritas, and have a good time. Different experience, but yet the same kind of outcome. You still are using it for the same means. The other thing I've experienced, though, by this and pretty much since we started these podcasts, my video casts, and just experimenting on my own, I've also found a different passion for foods and matching stuff, like even cheeses. I used to be the guy that I got my cheddar cheese and my American cheese, and that was it. And then I didn't really go too far off the standard menu. Now I still don't like fish, can't help that. But I still, now I'll try different things because I'm looking for specific tastes. And I never did that before. So, and I only started doing that when I really got into wine and stuff, when I start to, you know, try and find these flavors that they talk about on the label. So I think that's kind of cool. And I hopefully other people will figure that out too. You can taste these and go, wow, there's so much different variety. You can use that and apply it to all different things, beverages, liquor, cocktails. I could do it with cocktails. I could tell you what, you know, I make a game out of it, try and figure out what's in a mixed drink. It's not always easy to do.
Yeah.
Like, especially with vodka. You're like, the first thing you want to do is you just say vodka, because you're probably 80% right. It's got to be vodka in there. But I'm pretty impressed with what we got here. I'm again, like Dave, I don't know if I'd go out and be smacking down $180 for a bottle of scotch, but I'm over my fear now.
I think, yeah, it is a fear thing for me in a lot of ways. Like I said, it's a culmination of a bunch of bad experiences and stuff. But I mean, I can at least recognize that, you know, it's interesting stuff. You know, there's a lot of different flavors to it. And I can definitely see what Kate was talking about, where it's a warming thing. It's just something to chill with. And that's pretty cool. I don't know how long it would take me to warm up to the flavor of it, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, I didn't throw up my own mouth. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, like, there are my boss, for example, is a really big Scotch guy, and when we go out on a trip or something, he's always getting, you know, some sort of Scotch or another, and he enjoys it so much, you know, and I can't get into it that way.
Right. But I can at least now relate to it, because I've seen people like, oh yeah, you know, I like this single malt Scotch, blah blah blah, and I'm like, why? You're drinking rocket fuel, but it's got malts in it. What the fuck's the difference? And now it's like, oh, it don't all taste like that stuff that made me want to just kill myself. There's flavors for each. They're all completely different, but none of them really are vile.
Maybe a couple of them.
None of the ones I actually have. The red label, I probably agree. I still like to try it.
Yeah, I got to say, the Johnnie Walker Black that I'm trying here, it's not good.
See, everybody told me, oh, why don't you just... The first thing, I'm like, I've never had Scotch before. What should I do? Johnnie Walker. What? Okay. Black Label.
Well, it's the most commonly known one, right?
But these are people who's supposed to know Scotch. And,
well, the blended Scotches are the best sellers.
Maybe that's the deal.
So going back to the beer analogy, as weak as that is, I wonder if it's kind of like, you know, Budweiser is a pretty easy beer to drink, right?
Right. I could drink Budweiser.
It doesn't have a ton of flavor. I think, you know, maybe the blended ones don't have quite as pronounced of a flavor, so people can drink them better or more easily.
And I
sort of exactly like what you're saying with that analogy. It's like if you're with someone and they've never had a beer before, you're not going to be like, oh, have a Sam Adams Dark. You know, I mean, you're going to go easy on them.
That's
how about
just
a
mean.
Corona or something,
yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And like you said, everybody's got their own flavors that they're into. So if you have this single malt that you love and you recommend it to them and they, you know, buy this expensive shot, they're like, oh my God, that's terrible. Yet there might be another one out there that they really dig.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was their fault for not exploring prior to the event that led to the shot. I mean,
yeah, it's their fault for not listening to the show and right. Doing everything we do.
Basically, it's kind of where I was going with that.
Arise, our minions.
Come on. If you don't experience alcohol for its flavors, okay, if you're going to get a bar, disbar anybody who's trying to go out there to get drunk. Because you know what happens with my my cocktail show? I'll get tons of comments from people going, dude, I'm a bartender. I really love this. I'm going to try this at work and see what people think. I've had people be like, oh, I like the way that this has different sours to it. I really love the show, blah, blah, blah. Then I'll get the guy on YouTube, shut up, more drink. I'm like, okay. So I have to respond. I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm explaining this from more of an intellectual standpoint of what you can experience by trying this drink and why you would bother to even make it. And he's like, oh, sorry. I just drink to get drunk.
I'm going to get...
Are you still talking?
Gonna get, I'm going to guess, Derek, if it was just a video of you getting drunk, probably you'd lose a lot of your audience.
Dude, that's and I did
that one YouTube guy.
So serious. That's I said in one of the responses, I was like, listen, if you want to see me get drunk, there's tons of other YouTube videos that you can watch that will get you to what you're looking for. You know,
and really, if you're at home looking for someone to get drunk with on YouTube,
you have the first thing you should do is go play some Dungeons and Dragons, because that's about your crowd. You know, you need to get out more and find some people of like-mindedness. Just saying. I like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I was like, why are you, like, busting on yourself?
Well, no, the stereotypical response, you know, you have nowhere to play with, so you're a dork, you're just playing with all these people in your grandparents' basement pretending to be dragons. It's the same thing. I just want to get drunk, I'm going to sit on YouTube, watch people get drunk, and do shots with them. That is sad. That is more sad than anything.
And if you LARP and do scotch...
That's awesome.
Well, that's just a different level.
Level 70.
I love looking at LARP websites.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think we pretty much covered everything I wanted to cover. Is everybody satisfied? We covered all the alcohols and everything? Sweet.
I think so.
Awesome. I'll bring us out. I don't want another 2.5 hour podcast like last time.
Yeah.
That was long. Okay, so I think we covered everything we needed to cover. If you have not tried scotch and you were like me and you think it's disgusting and you've not tried it, you did it wrong. You need to go out. You need to get yourself some single malt nips. Start with the nips if you have to. You don't have to spend $50. Try it. Expand what you think you know. If you don't like it, write us. Let us know. You can send it to me, the dshomer at everydaydrinkers.com, and or just use the contact form at everydaydrinkers.com and let me know what you think. Otherwise, if you do like it and we did something wrong, let us know, because I think we did a pretty good job. We didn't cover everything, but we covered enough. We didn't go through the history too much. I think we really got into it, got a lot of the descriptions of what are in these right down to a science. I'm Derek Schomer for Dave, Doug, Kate, and our podcast producer, Luke Lydahl. You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can check us out on everydaydrinkers.com. Go check out my cocktails, everydaydrinkers.tv. Leave me comments. Dude, I got tons of subscribers. It's kicking ass.
Luke.
Luke. We've got 403 downloads so far today. I'm going to break my record. I'm going to rock. All right. Let me put this on. Stop. No, I just wanted to. I wanted to not sound dumb by asking some very basic questions, and I'll probably ask them again, or at least reference them, so that everybody knows I am as stupid as I said I am.
Hey, if you need dumb questions asked, I'm your guy.
That's awesome, because I'm probably gonna need me some dumb questions, Dave.
Nice.
Here's a stupid question. Why are you so dumb? No. All right. So let me see. This is episode 25, I think, and this is Scotch Whiskey. Yeah. All right. Here we go. I'm warming up my hands because they're fucking cold. hold on a second. I got... Who? I saw you typing, so I'm like, wait a minute. Where's that window? I hope I'm not bitchy, but I could be.
Wait.
But no, seriously, the Chivas, I'm so used to alcohols that have foreign accents that I'm not used to this normal stuff, is... So far,
have you
so
heard
good.
Someone speaks Scottish or with a Scottish accent?
No, mate.
There's a Scottish accent. No, of course there is.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I've hung out with Melvin before.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if you've hung out with somebody like from, you know, wherever in Scotland, it's sometimes like almost impossible to understand.
Oh, dude, I can't understand a damn thing they say.
No. The funniest fucking conversation I almost so funny. It's top 10 funniest conversations I've ever had in my life. I asked Melvin, who was at that point not my brother-in-law, I asked him to be one of my groomsmen in my wedding, and he went on a 5-minute diatribe of thanking me in Scottish. I could not tell you anything the fucking man said. He was so he was talking so fast, and he was so giddy. It was all like, "Oh yeah," for 5 fucking minutes, and I was like, "Yeah, yeah, that's great." I have no idea what you just said.
Did you say were you talking to him on the phone?
Yeah, I was talking to him on the phone.
I have the hardest time with general UK accents, Scottish accents, any of those, any weird English accents, except I can understand Southern pretty well, but the whole UK thing blows my mind. And on the phone, 100 times worse. I have to actually find myself holding the phone in speakerphone further away to kind of, I don't know what it does, but it kind of rounds out some of the accent a little so I can understand it. But when the Germans call me and they speak English, I can understand it.
It's not necessarily their accent. It's the fact that they talk so goddamn fast.
Yeah, but we talk fast, too. We just don't have a funny accent.
We don't talk that fast.
We talk pretty fucking fast. See?
All right.
Well, no, I'm
you
saying.
You do, Derek. You definitely.
But people seem to still understand me. They don't necessarily agree with me or want to understand what I'm saying, and they can tune themselves out. But they grasp the words. It's enunciation, I guess. I don't know. But
anyway, tangent.
Anyway, final thought on that. When I was traveling in from London to Hamburg, Germany, I could understand the German speaking the German about all the airport security and safety and exit ports. Didn't understand a fucking thing the UK people were telling me. Weirdest experience of my life. I'm like, they're looking at me with they got a seatbelt in their hand. I know they're talking about seatbelts. What the fuck are they saying? And then they went through and they did the automatic German one. I'm like, yeah. It's the same thing that you would do around here. I don't want to die. You know, I got to look at my little pamphlet in my seat. Anyway, so back to the...
Have you guys ever seen this thing called Fear of Girls?
Yes.
No.
It's
what?
Hysterical. Look it up on YouTube sometime. It's called Fear of Girls. It's basically these two guys that are like uber D&D geeks. And one of my favorite scenes is the main character, Doug, lives with his brother. Whoa. And his brother's a minister or something. And his wife... And they're saying grace at the table, and he's wearing like a druid outfit,
yeah, I remember
with a hood and stuff. And he starts going, you know, like, oh, childbearer of the earth, blah, 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 all this other stuff on top of what they're trying to say.
I remember that.
It's great.
That was viral, I think, for a little bit. Yeah, you got to definitely find that.
All right. I'll check that out.
Way off the tangent, but I hadn't done any tonight, so hey.
You know, not to bust on LARPers, but I love looking at LARP websites.
Yep. It's funny.
To laugh.
Do you ever see the movie Role Models?
I think that we need to edit that comment to just being, I love looking at LARP websites. See what kind of audience response we get.
That could be the title of this show.
I'm going to make that my ringtone, actually.
One of the funniest LARP clips that I've ever seen in my life was Lightning Bolt.
Dude, there's...
I don't know if you guys know the one that I'm talking about.
Yes, because that's another one I think that gets passed around a lot.
It's just...
Have you seen the movie Role Models?
Lightning Bolt, Lightning Bolt, Lightning Bolt, Lightning Bolt.
Dude, I just saw Role Models last night. The entire last scene of the movie is like Braveheart reenacted, but they're LARPing.
That's awesome.
Like scene by scene, I'm like, holy crap, every slice and every cut. It was hilarious. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Somebody's getting a visit from Dateline.
I don't know.
I wish I was. Chris Hansen is hot.
Yeah, that's what Doug said to me the other day. That's him putting down his mic. I'm out of here. Fuck this shit.